There's a difference between being rude or coming off with an arrogant tone when you're being direct and being direct in a way that gives people more clarity when they watch your content. And I would like to get better at that, not just for content, but for my company. I would like to be able to speak in a way that is more direct, in a way that can give them more clarity.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
So shifting from the people engine of the business to the media engine, you guys obviously have some massive plans there. My understanding is you guys just bought a big production studio. Is that right?
So we bought a large building.
A building.
Okay. Yeah. It's, I don't know, 10 minutes from here. But yeah, it's like a 38,000 square foot building.
So we go in like competing with Mr. Beast at this point? What's going on?
Yeah, me. No, I'm the opposite of that. Alex and I have different ideas for our content. And as we get separate teams, it's going to look different. But the idea was we want to make it as easy as possible to make content.
Okay.
Because it's not something that, when for me, I don't want it to detract from what I'm already doing. I want it to be integrated as much as possible. So it's like, where are areas that we can do content that make it easy? It's like, well, if I had a studio and Alex had a studio, it was all set up, then when I have an hour gap between meetings, we can just throw in a recording session. Yep. We can throw in a podcast. If we had our own gym, people could just record us. We talk about this like between sets and just like have a conversation between sets, like it's recorded. And so if we create, you know, build this building, which we have, and it's under construction, and we create all these things within it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And that helps us facilitate content in a way that works for us and doesn't deter from the things that we're doing on a daily basis that move the business forward.
Yeah. I put that on my dream list for next year. I don't think it'll be at the scale that you guys are doing, obviously, but yeah, just get a nice studio, make it easy. It's just so much better than having to constantly... Yeah, just
rent
audible
at content. Yeah.
Because you guys have been doing that up until now, is like renting the studios all the time and everything?
Renting studios, and we would just like do it in our house. Like,
wow.
And that also just becomes because like Alex.
I had no idea. I thought you guys had like a decent operation, like on that side, or a decent setup going. You have an amazing operation.
No.
But I didn't realize. Okay, wow.
No, we were like doing it out of our house. And it was like, I don't know. Alex and I are like really scrappy. We're like, do it out of our house. You know what I mean? Like we don't care. But then it was like, okay, we have a condo. And now Alex is recording on days when Layla's not. She's working. And then Layla can hear him through the wall when she's on the meeting. And she's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend like, have that right now. And I feel for her. It's like, let's get this guy out of my house. What's this guy doing?
Yeah. And then he's like, don't come in. I'm making a video. I don't want you to hear it. You know, like we're just like, dude, no.
I'm naked right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and neither of us really like want the other to be like watching while we're making content.
Yeah.
He's the only person I care thinks about it. So
yeah. It's awkward that way. Yeah.
So that's why we're building that out. And because I would like to, I believe that we will be better at the content if more of the team is in person, the people editing the content, the people producing the content. I think that if we have an in-person environment, it's the one department that I feel like has much more of an advantage and it makes way more sense and will make their jobs easier if they're in person doing it, rather than remotely.
And which side of the business do you think is going to be bigger in the next decade? The media side of the business or the acquisition side?
I think that's a really tough one. There's a lot of opportunities in media that we pass up on a consistent basis. And it's just because the business is just not at a point where I think that makes sense and it would sacrifice it. And at the end of the day, like I want to have a business. I like having a business. I like running a business. Making content is fun. And I like that it helps people a lot. I don't know if I would enjoy it as much if I didn't also run a business, you know, and that's what I do 95% of the time. So, but it's a really honestly, it's kind of where I feel consistently torn. And I don't really think I have a good answer just because it's something I personally struggle with. I've had two meetings in the last month where people who are very famous and very wise and that I look up to have told me, have presented opportunities and been like, you need to go all in on this, kind of more like Alex's. And it makes me like really uncomfortable.
Right.
So I got to figure what, it doesn't matter why it makes me uncomfortable. I think I'm still going to commit to doing more of it. But I don't know what level I would take it to. I would never, okay, let me put it like this. I've created a business where I have the flexibility that like, I can grow this business and create this business in a way that I think there's an environment where it like makes my life better. I think that there's a certain level of media and content where if it goes beyond the scope of acquisition.com having control of it, say if we were to go like mainstream media or sign with some companies and such, I would lose control and lose some autonomy. And I just don't know if I'd be willing to do that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, there's only so much of your life you want to open up and so much stuff you want to put on the table and you want to have control of what's out there. You don't want to suddenly give up control and then have someone else dictating.
My time.
Right.
It's of my time. So there's a lot of deals out there that maybe have been presented to us, but like then I lose autonomy of time.
Right.
And
that's what you work so hard for over these years, like, is just being able to at least dictate what the hell you're going to do with your days and weeks.
Right. And I like am pretty good at suffering, but I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I don't know if that would be conducive with the rest of the goals I have. So that's a place where I feel torn. And I think it's yet to be determined. I think we'll see how the year goes. I'd like the direction we're going now. I've already gone from like, all right, doing like one day a month to like one day a week. That's a huge jump for me. So we'll see.
And if you don't mind me asking, like, what's the other part that makes you uncomfortable with that? Like in terms of, you know, it's interesting that you have a level of discomfort with it, but you kind of keep doing it. And in despite of that, you've kind of still ramped it up.
Yeah.
What's the discomfort there and have you kind of rationalized, well, even despite that, I'm going to go further. Is it the leverage from it or?
No, I think it's that in my mind, mentally, I've just always focused on Alex's brand. Like because his brand was the face of our last company. And then we started acquisition.com. It was like, that was first going to be like, his brand is associated with acquisition.com. And so I do a lot behind the scenes to facilitate those things and lead a lot of the things that, you know, make that easy for him. It feels like in a weird way, me focusing on mine, I just don't want it to, I don't like feeling like I put less focus on his or I give less support to it in any way.
Interesting.
Which I don't think has to do with business as much as it does being married.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like as his wife, I love being like a supporter and making it easy for him, all those things. Like I don't like lose that just because we're business partners.
Right. That's true.
And so in my mind, it's like, okay, now I'm prioritizing mine. Like I don't want something to become a negative for him.
Right.
But he is, listen, Alex is the first person to tell me I need to pay attention to my brand.
Yeah.
Like a guy came to me a month ago and he was like, dude, if you just thought about your brand, he's like, it would just like, it would probably grow the same piece as mine, but you put no thought into it. You don't even try. And I'm like, fuck. And he's like, I really think you should. He's the first person to tell me. And I'm still like,
so I feel like there's a large part of it though, as you continue to build it out. And if you got like, whatever you want to call it, more committed, more aggressive, or just more frequent with it, you'd just be going down the wormhole yourself while he's also going down that sort of path of mastery and developing it, not just as a, you know, not on the support side, but actually in the limelight and going through whatever the struggles, the learnings, the challenges are. And there's a greater degree that the further you go down that path of mastery, actually, you might actually be a better support for him in a way.
You sound like him. He always tries to find a way to make it.
He actually paid me to say that.
Yeah. Here's why it would actually make you better at that. Yeah. No, I know. He like mind me into, you know, doing what's best for me. No, I agree. I think you're right. I think it's all bullshit, honestly.
Nice.
Guys, I just want to take a quick break to thank all of you for listening to the show so far. If you enjoy what you're listening to, I would be so grateful if you would just consider leaving me a review or even sharing it with somebody who you think would love to hear the kind of content. As you can see, I don't run ads on here, so the only way that this show grows is if we can continue to make awesome content, and the only way I can do that is through you liking, subscribing, and rating. All right, let's get back to it.
And so any kind of core, you know, traits or skills you're looking to pick up to kind of get to that next level?
Yes. I think sometimes when I'm talking, because I have the habit of not wanting to offend people, I'm too passive in how I speak. And I would like to practice being more direct in a way that's direct without being punishing. Because I think my fear is I'm going to sound like a that's all. And I think my voice, my demeanor, all these things contribute to like, sometimes I watch my content, I'm like, a little tough there. But I think that there's a difference between being rude or coming off with an arrogant tone when you're being direct and being direct in a way that gives people more clarity when they watch your content. And I think that one thing that I see that Alex is so good at, probably because he's written, I mean, he spent so many hours writing and studying language is the way in which he can direct people with his words. And I would like to get better at that, not just for content, but for my company, is to speak in a way in conditions where I feel people are judging me or are having thoughts of uncertainty or are feeling, you know, not just super stoked. I would like to be able to speak in a way that is more direct, in a way that can give them more clarity. And that's something that I think is a skill deficiency that I see between myself and him. I mean, not to mention other things I would say that would be in the content piece, but I think that is one that I can gain a lot, both within my company and within content if I work on it.
And how are you kind of going about picking up that skill? Because it's tricky. I mean, I'm kind of also like a very passionate, intense person. And if I'm not too careful, it kind of can come across, yeah, maybe a little overly aggressive versus you kind of got to dial it back a bit and be a bit conscious. Like, how do you kind of approach that development?
My plan is to identify the situations in which it happens most frequently and then write 1 to 2 sentence script that I'm going to start saying every time. It sounds silly, but I was speaking to one of my friends. He's a behavioral psychologist, whatever. And I was like, are there any books that I could read that would help me? He's like, that would just confuse you. He's like, just write yourself a damn script, 2 sentences. And I was like, oh my God, that is so simple. And I can absolutely think of something. So that's my plan. I think that even like, I think that like sometimes I speak with less certainty because I don't want to offend people. And so I think that changing that and speaking in a more direct manner will, I think, help people when they watch the content be more likely to take action because they have more clarity, and have people in my team will feel, I think the more clarity you can provide to your team, the more at ease they feel, the more action they'll take.
Yeah. And then it's like safer for you too. You just know that there's a certain prompt or line that you can start something off with.
Yeah.
And know like, okay, I'm going to say this and I'm just going to shoot it straight, and I can feel safe just to express myself clearly without feeling like I'm going to offend someone or come across the wrong way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
What about you, if I'm curious?
I mean, on the personal side, I've been traveling for about a decade now. Living out of a suitcase basically for 10 years since selling my first business. So I'm going to be settling down and slowing down.
Damn.
And getting a studio, and I'm moving to Dubai. So that's a pretty big move and everything. So
are you excited?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. Yeah, to finally like have a spot. For me, it's a lot of, I think my biggest thing is balance of like, I get so like obsessive in the workspace and just like, you know, just building the craft, the mastery. Balance in relationships can be something that like is tricky, and finding what does balance mean? It doesn't, you know, it doesn't need any one thing to one couple, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of trying to find that, yeah, that right way of looking at it. And I don't think we've found that yet, like the common language around balance yet. So I think it's still kind of foggy, but how have you kind of navigated that side of things?
Just found someone who's obsessed with the same.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what it feels like. I'm like, okay, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, you just both want to talk about it.
We both always want to work.
Yeah, we both always want to work and then talk about work. So it worked out.
Yeah. So no, I'm kind of in something where, it's more about, not that, but in its own way, it's beautiful. So got to try to figure out
100%.
That balance side of things in a way that works for everyone. So that's definitely the growth opportunity. And I can't figure out what that is yet. I don't know if it's whether like we agree on a common calendar of like, okay, it's not exactly how much I'd work, but it's dialed back a bit and then leave some room for stuff. But then I don't know, that kind of also ruins a bit of the intimacy. So I don't know. We'll see.
Gotta figure that out. Have you heard of Esther Perel? You probably have.
Yeah. Her name keeps coming up like every day. I think it's a sign.
Her book, Mating in Captivity, it was one of the best books on relationships that I read. Okay. Now there's some weird shit in there. I don't endorse that, but I don't jive with all of it. But there was a piece about basically distance and closeness that I think gave such a fantastic frame for any relationship. It changed our relationship for the better forever.
And what was the big kind of takeaway?
Understanding that basically when you are too close to the person, you start to feel like brother and sister and you don't want to be intimate with them. And you're too far for the person, you start to feel insecure, uncertain, and you start to feel like unstable in the relationship. And so it talks about how it's not a problem to solve, but a dichotomy to be managed. And it gave a lot of great language for us to use with each other around describing when we felt like we were too close. And it took it away from being like a bad thing and made it in, I think the book normalized it.
That's cool.
And so we could talk about, and like, even like we both bring it up sometimes the same day. I'm like, dude, I feel like we're like on top of each other all day. And like, I just like need some, I just need alone time. He's like, dude, I'm so sick of seeing your face. We like joke about it. I was like, I know I'm sick of seeing you too. All right, well, I'm going to go for like 3 hours. We're like, bye. And we would just like disappear for the half day.
Yeah.
And then at the other time, you know, like even in the last few months, we got an office, we drive separately, we have separate schedules, we don't see each other during the day, we don't have our walks as normal. You know, we call each other, we'd be talking on the phone, we're like, dude, I like really want to see you. I feel like it's like when we're dating again, where it's like, I don't get to see you. And there's like this weird attraction. I just like, can't wait to see you, you know? And we were talked about, we're like, oh, that's it. Again, we're talking within the frame of like, there's a lot of distance. I was like, at the same time, I'd like a little more. Like, can we go on our walk during our lunch break? He's like, sure, you know? And so I think it gives a great frame because it talks about how that's never going to be perfect. Hmm. It's never going to feel like life is fluid and relationships are too. There's going to be periods where you feel very close and almost like you're on top of each other. And there's going to be periods where you feel like you're too distant and it's like you're drifting away. And it's just the ability to acknowledge when one is happening and then say, okay, is this a season that we're going to be in for a moment and it's going to go back to, you know, feeling like a pace we like better? Or do we need to do something because there's no end in sight?
Yeah.
And so it's just given us great language to use with each other.
I feel like that's the biggest thing is like because when you're using the wrong language, it will just come across wrong. You know, like if you're just saying, oh, I need more space. It's like, oh, well, is the other person doing something wrong? Are they in your stuff? When it's not that necessarily, there's maybe a different sort of, language to use around this that just normalizes it a bit more and makes it something that you're both on the same team. Yeah. Because similar to you, me and my girlfriend work together too. She's the creative director of everything that I do. So yeah, you're definitely, you know, we're around each other all the time. And when you get that language wrong around balance, like it just can lead to sticky situations that really neither of us intend to have. So,
100%. Yeah. But I mean, you're around anyone long enough, you're sick of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's totally normal. Well, no, I appreciate the insights and all. Got to go check out that book, Mating Captivity, but not the weird parts.
Yeah, not the weird parts.
Well, it's been good chopping it up. And I appreciate you being so open with everything. I appreciate you sharing your journey over the years. It's been amazing learning from you, really inspired by you. And thanks for your time.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.